And we're going to read a few verses over there. So I appreciate your patience. And we missed in December different things going on. And so we're all caught back up. And we're going to read a few verses in Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. So I'll give you just a moment to turn there. For the college students, you probably didn't miss if you were here, or you remember a month or 5 weeks ago, we've not moved very far. You might have missed chapter number 2, but this is just the sixth lesson that we've had in the book of Galatians. We're already up to chapter number 3, which for me is moving pretty quick, but I want us tonight to read verses 1 through 5, and the Bible says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" And so we've said many times already that chapters 1 and 2 were personal. The Apostle Paul was relating many of his experiences in the ministry to the Galatians, and concerning this subject of those that came and even up to Jerusalem. And we talked about Acts chapter number 15, and there were men that came and were teaching then that you had to be saved by keeping the law of Moses. And here that same thing is happening in the churches at Galatia. So Paul is relating his personal experience concerning that. Chapters 3 and 4 are doctrinal, which we are beginning tonight, and chapters 5 and 6 are practical. Now, the word doctrine just simply means teaching. Brother Tim talked about that a little bit at CFC last night, so we shouldn't get all bent out of shape when somebody talks about doctrine. Doctrine is a good thing. It is a necessary thing, and if you go to school and learn anything, you've learned doctrine. Might be the doctrine of engineering, or the doctrine of poetry, or the doctrine of literature, or the doctrine of history. It is just teaching. That is all that it is. I think in the worldly context, you might hear maybe the doctrine of war. Somebody goes to the military and they study. But doctrine in the Bible just simply means teaching. And so here is teaching, and it's teaching about justification by faith, not by the work, not by the law, and not by works. Now, I'm just going to read down through, if you've got a Scofield Bible, just a little preview of what chapter number 3 is about, and just these headings that Scofield has in his study Bible. He says at the top of verse number 1, "The gift of the Spirit is by faith, not by law, or not by works." Then if you go down between verses 5 and 6, the Abrahamic covenant is a by faith covenant. So the teaching about the Abrahamic covenant. And then between verses 9 and 10, he said the man under law or works is under the curse of the law. And then you go down after verse number 12, he said Christ has borne our law curse that we might have the faith blessing. I like that. I was just looking over these things early this morning. Then between verse 16 and 17, he says the law does not add a new condition to the Abrahamic covenant of faith. Then between verses 18 and 19, he said the true intent of the law is condemnation and as a preparatory discipline. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And then he goes on after verse number 24, and the rule of the believer's life is gracious, not legal. And then after verse 25, he said, "The justified believer is a son in the family of God, not a servant under the law." So these are some good things that we're going to be looking at as we get into chapter number 3. But just to begin in verse number 1, going back over there, look what he says. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" Now, that's pretty strong language. So what he says there in chapter number 3, if you call somebody foolish, you know, that's pretty strong. And he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" You've got to remember, Paul is writing to churches that have been infiltrated by false teaching, teaching that by the law or by works, that is necessary in order to be saved. These people were coming down. These men were coming to these churches at Galatia. They were teaching these Gentile believers that they had to be circumcised and that they had to keep the law of Moses. Now, if you go back to chapter 2, verse number 16, this is a great verse. We ought to remember it, underline it, highlight it. You ought to be able to go back to it if you're talking with somebody and trying to show them that we're not saved by works. Chapter 2, verse 16, he said, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." That to me is very, very plain. We are not justified by the works of the law. So the Apostle Paul, he's continuing on the teaching along these lines, and he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" There's a couple of words there worth pointing out. First of all, the word "foolish" there. What the word "foolish" means there, it comes from a word which means to exercise the mind, to be unintelligent. And then the word "bewitched" there. We think about bewitched, well, just the day I grew up in, I think about that TV show that used to be on that had the girl or whatever it was. But what does that mean? To be bewitched. And it means this. It means to malign, to fascinate by false representation, to deceive somebody, to trick somebody. And so if you see a magician on television or at a show or something, they might do something, you know, that just seems like, boy, that's impossible. You know, to put somebody in a wooden box and then take a saw and saw it in half. Well, they didn't really do that. You've been tricked. You know, and sometimes we willingly, like a magic show or something like that, we are willing to be tricked for the purpose of entertainment. But here, the Galatians had been tricked, they had been duped, they had been deceived by these false teachers. And so when the Apostle Paul says here in verse number 1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" In our language, we might say it something like this: "You Galatians, you've lost your mind." Foolish in is a word that comes from to exercise the mind. He's saying to them, you act like you've lost your mind. You have been deceived. You have been tricked. You are not thinking straight. That's what he's saying to the Galatians. "You foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" You've lost your mind. Somebody has tricked you. Somebody has fooled you, is what he's saying there. Then he goes on. "Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you?" Paul is referring there to his ministry of truth among them. You remember, he's the one that went to Galatia. He's the one that preached to them, won them to Christ, started these churches of Galatia, and now somebody has come along and deceiving them and tricking them and fooling them. He had preached the gospel among them. He said in verse number 1, "whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth." The Apostle Paul, when the Apostle Paul preached the gospel, very clear, very plain on these things. They had evidently, evidence before them of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ had been preached. The truth had been preached among them. But now the Judaizers, the legalists, they come along, they have deceived them. Now, it is possible to be deceived. It is possible to be led astray from the truth. You can be saved and be wrong doctrinally. In fact, I believe all across our land and all around the world tonight, there are many people that have truly been saved, but after they're saved, they are either caught up in or they go right back into the religious system that they were in. And if you don't have somebody to come along and teach and show the truth, or you're saved and a babe in Christ and you never study it out, pray it out, find it out for yourself, you can be saved and be in error. And wouldn't you agree, there's a lot of confused people out here. I mean, somebody might, and I believe with all of my heart, I run into this at least one or two times when we lived in Idaho and we lived among the Mormons. You got to realize, if you were raised in that, that is all you know. You are definitely in the majority. Most little towns in northern Utah and southern Idaho, they're 80-90% Mormons. But in our day and time, you have internet, you have, well, you had it a little bit then, but you have a radio, you have gospel tracts. The Mormons themselves do a whole lot of talking about Jesus, and you go down to the temple and they had at that time a new wing on the, I'm talking about the Mormon temple, and I mean, you go through that and boy, it was set up. First thing you saw, John 3:16, when you went into it, and it told a historical timeline of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Bible. All looked very good. And I believe I run into at least one or two people when I was there. I believe they were saved, but they were so confused and they had nobody to show them the way out of that. I know some people probably wouldn't agree with me about that. I believe there's some saved people in the Church of Christ. Church of Christ teaches that you need to be baptized to be saved. Well, so do the Mormons. There's a lot of difference there. But if you had a little child, went to vacation Bible schools, got a daddy that's a goes to a Bible preaching church, and their family split, and mom goes over here, don't get any, you can see how that could be much religious confusion. There's a lot of religious confusion. And so the Galatians were very confused, very deceived. Now, they were saved. But they're getting ready to go down the works road of salvation, which is a false gospel. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to them to head off this false teaching that you have to work your way into heaven. So the Galatians were deceived. They were truly saved, but they are being deceived and they are becoming doctrinally corrupt. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to them. Look what he says in verse number 2. He's trying to head this stuff off. And so he begins to ask some questions to them. Verse number 2, he said, "This only would I learn of you." Now, if you're talking to somebody doctrinally, and maybe you have a question about faith and works and something along those lines, one way to teach is by asking a question. And so he asked several questions. But he says in verse number 2, before he asked a question, he said, "This only would I learn of you." He said, "I just want you to tell me one thing." Now here's the basis for his argument that he's getting ready to make. He said to the Galatians, "I want you to tell me this one thing." And so he's going to go down through here in these verses and he's going to keep bringing up this one thing, this one thing. "This only would I learn of you." Here's what I want you to tell me. Here's what I want to know. "Received ye," and I'm in verse number 2, "received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? This is one reason why we know that the Galatians were true believers, because they had received the Spirit of God. And that's one reason why we know that they were saved. They had received the Spirit of God. Now, a lot of people are confused on the Spirit of God. A lot of people think, well, getting saved is one thing, then later on down the road you receive the Spirit of God. A lot of people think, well, you have faith, and then as you grow and you dedicate and you give your life more and more, then down the road you'll receive or get the Holy Ghost. And some people think, well, you'll speak in tongues and receive the Holy Spirit, or you receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, or something like that. But the Bible answer, where do we receive the Spirit of the Lord? Look over just a few. We can gather that from Galatians, because he said you received the Spirit. But look over in Ephesians chapter 1. That is about 4 or 5 pages. The Bible answer to that, when do we receive, or how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, this is very plain. Paul, again, is writing to the church at Ephesus. And he's writing about their experience in Christ. He said, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. You got to hear the word of truth. You got to trust. So he's talking about after they trusted. When did they do that? After they heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Just meaning, as soon as you get saved, you receive the Spirit of God. That is the token from heaven that you are a child of God. That is what that verse 14, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. When you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And that is what the Apostle Paul is reminding them. When do you receive the Spirit of God? When you believe. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There's no such thing as being saved and not having the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. That's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. But when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes into our soul, into our spirit. He seals us until the day of redemption. And that's when you get the Holy Spirit. There's no second receiving the Holy Spirit down the road at some point in time. Somebody put it like this. When you get saved, you get all of God that you'll ever get, but the rest of your life is Him getting more and more of you. And that's a pretty good way to look at it. But you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So what Paul is asking them here in the book of Galatians, back in chapter 3, verse 2, this only would I have learned of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And they knew the answer to that. Did you receive the Spirit of God by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now they knew the answer. When Paul came to them, they were Gentiles. They didn't grow up keeping the law. They were Gentiles. They were heathen. They were idolaters. They were not Jews by any means. Maybe they didn't even know anything about the law. But they heard the gospel from Paul. They were saved. They received the Holy Spirit of God. They did all that by faith. All that by responding to the gospel message of the Apostle Paul, not by keeping the law. And so they knew the answer to that. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? If they answered honestly, they'd have said, we received it by the hearing of faith. Verse number 3. He said, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? If we are saved by faith, if we receive the Spirit of God by faith, if we walk by faith and live by faith, can we come along after the fact and say, oh, okay, well, now we need to gain these things by keeping the law? And that's what the legalizers had come along and done. The Galatians had been saved. They received the Spirit of God. They're walking by faith. All of these things, they're on their way to heaven. If you said, you know, if you died, do you know where you go? They'd have said, yeah, I'll go to heaven. I've trusted Christ by faith. But now the legalizers come along. They say, oh, no, no, you got to keep the law. You got to be circumcised. Well, they's already saved. They'd already received the Spirit of God. And so you can't come along way after the fact and say, all right, now I'm going to follow the law. I'm going to keep the law. What Paul is saying in verse 3, are you so foolish? He's saying, this just doesn't make sense that you've been led astray. That's why he's saying it's foolish. Doesn't make any sense. Now you're going to go back and put yourself under the law and try to be saved by keeping the law when you're already saved. That's foolish. Colossians chapter 1 verse 6 is a great verse. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How do you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By faith. So walk ye in him. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We're saved by faith. It's untelling how many millions of people across the world have truly been saved, and almost immediately, because of the church or the organization or the way that they're brought up, they almost immediately think they, oh, all right, now I've got to turn over a new leaf. Now I've got to do this. Now I've got to do that. There are things to do, no doubt about that. But we are not saved by following some list of do this or don't do that. Now, I want to say tonight, and I don't want to confuse anybody about the law. And the Apostle Paul says has a lot more to say about the law. But I'm going to read out of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. We're not saying the law is not good, because the Bible says the law is good. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8 says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. So the law is good. I think we would all agree on that. Have no other gods before me. Don't take God's name in vain. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witness. That's lying. Wouldn't we all agree that's good? Wasn't our country a whole lot better when you could go to the elementary school and it was on the wall? That law's good if it's used lawfully. We'll get into this later, but the point of the law is to show you that you're not capable of keeping the law. That's why we need to be saved. So Paul's not saying the law is not good. What Paul is addressing to the church at Galatia, and what we have to keep in mind, he is dealing with motive and teaching. If I am trying to keep the law in order to be saved, that is wrong. That will not get you to heaven. That's what Paul is saying is wrong here in this instance and in other places. So a lot of people are confused about that. We're not saying the law is a bad thing. The law is a good thing. The law is necessary for good society. But the law will not save you. Keeping the law will not save you. And teaching people that they need to keep the law in order to be saved is promoting a false gospel. And so we need to understand that. We need to understand that from the Bible. We're not saying the law is not good. The law is good. But you don't go to heaven by keeping the law. You don't receive the Spirit of God by keeping the law. And Paul is dealing with their motive and then the result of, if they believe that and they start teaching that to other people, they're teaching them a false doctrine. So that's the danger in that. And that's what he's promoting to them. If we become, and here's the danger, the Galatians were saved. But if they accept this, oh, I got to keep the law in order to be saved, and they turn around and they teach their children that, guess what's going to happen to their children? They're not going to be saved. And has that not happened in many, many denominations all across, I could just say our country, not to mention the world? Years ago, years and years ago in our country, when there's great revivals went on, and even in our some of our grandparents and people we even know living today. Years ago, the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians, they could all meet together. They could have revival service, and they was all preaching the same gospel. But it's not so today. Some teach, no, you need to be baptized. You need to be baptized to be saved. Yes, you got to have faith, but you got to be baptized. You got to take communion. You got to go through confirmation or something like that. They're not the same today. And that same thing would have happened in Galatia had Paul not come along and intervened. There are many Christian denominations that teach faith plus works. We do not teach faith plus works. There's many that teach faith plus works. Yes, you need to believe, but you need to do something else. One man was given an illustration and said it was sort of like rowing a boat across a lake. That if you just use one oar, you would just go in a circle. If you just use the other oar, you would go in the other direction in a circle, but you never would get anywhere. So he said that's like faith and works working together to get us across. Well, that sounds pretty good. But here's the problem. We're not going to heaven in a rowboat. If we were going to heaven in a rowboat, I guess that'd be all right. But we're not going to heaven in a rowboat. We're going to heaven purely by the grace of God. We're going to heaven simply because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross. He shed His blood. He died there for you and I. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And there's not one thing that you and I could ever add to what Jesus has already done. If we try to add one thing to what Jesus has already done, we could go up to heaven when we die and we could say, "The Lord and I." There'll not be any, "The Lord and I did this in heaven." It'll be all because of Him. Right. Unto Him that washed us in His own blood is what the Bible says. It's because of what Jesus did. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Plus nothing, minus nothing. There's nothing we do. And that's what Paul is teaching the Galatians here. He's not saying throw the law out the window and don't listen to any of it. Nowhere in the New Testament does the Bible say that. But the law simply teaches us that we cannot be saved by the efforts of our own flesh. God gave up on the flesh way back in the garden. You say, "Well, couldn't a man keep himself and live a perfect life and be good enough to go to heaven?" Well, God did give the opportunity. He gave the opportunity to Adam and Eve to keep what they had. And all they had to do was obey one. You ever thought about that? Just one thing God told them not to do. He said, "Everything out there is yours. You're in charge of everything. Be fruitful, multiply." And God came down, visited with them every day. He said, "Just don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's the only thing not to do." And guess what they did? That's what they did. And they didn't have a sin nature then. They failed. They sinned. Flesh failed them. Now, did God say, "Well, all right, give you another chance"? No. God knew that flesh is just going to get worse. Going to have to do something else from that point forward. And all throughout the Bible and all up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary and what He did. And every day since then and every day beyond our day, it's only by the blood. That's the only way anybody's ever going to go to heaven. By the blood of the Lord Jesus. All them Old Testament animals pointed to the Lamb of God that would come. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to heaven. It's not by works. God gave up on the flesh. a long time ago. Gave them one chance. They failed. It's by the blood. It's the only way to be saved. And so they had that chance. They blew it. I like that song we sing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's the only way to heaven. We don't do anything. Verse number 4. He said, have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Now, in the early days of Christianity and some places in the world today, they suffered. In fact, the early Christians suffered by the hand of Paul before he got saved, when he was Saul. They suffered for their stand by faith. The world, by and large, has no problem with religion, but pure Christianity, Bible preaching, Bible believing, the world has always persecuted and gone after. He said, have you suffered all these things in vain? If it be yet in vain, they had suffered for their belief and acceptance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, have you suffered all these things in vain for nothing? You're just going to go back under the law? Verse number 5, the Apostle Paul said this, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul is referring to his own ministry among the Galatians, which he referred to as ministering to you the Spirit, with a capital S, and worketh miracles among you. The Apostle Paul in his ministry, early ministry, there were miracles that attended his ministry. And he's saying, I want you to compare my ministry to the ministry of the legalizers, the Judaizers. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6 deals with the same thing. It's talking about the law and the Spirit. It said, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I'll explain it like this. A spiritual ministry, a faith ministry gives life. A legal ministry ministers death. If that's all you got's the law, you got death. But you have to have faith and the Spirit of God, and where you have that, you have life. I believe we could illustrate it like this. Does going through the court system today save anybody? Do you know most of the law enforcement deals in repeat business? You talk to somebody that is on the sheriff's department or policeman or something. The great majority of who they deal with, it's repeat business. It's same people. Over and over and over again, same people in trouble with the law. You think you go to court, you go to jail, you be reformed, you get out, you say, boy, I don't want to ever go through that or do that again. That's not so. Same things over and over and over again. The law does not save. Justice, you say justice must be served. And it is. It does. We believe in that. But it doesn't save people. It doesn't change people. But faith ministries and gospel ministries change lives. I was somewhere this past week. I saw somebody had a Rock of Ages Bible, Rock of Ages Study Bible. I thought, what a blessing. What a blessing that is. That what started out as a prison ministry. Now there is a difference made in the prison system. When people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's where a difference is made. Hebron Colony. You know how low, like dealing with addictions, like the AA programs and, you know, the state programs and all that, very low success rate. But you get the faith ministries involved, they have a much higher. Well, they don't all, but a lot of them do. A lot of them go in hopeless, And I know several change lives. Praise the Lord. That's what faith will do. That's what the Spirit of God will do for you. Ministries like that. Christian children homes, gospel preaching churches, lives are changed. Many people, many millions down through the years, hopeless, 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 they met the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, new creature. Well, that's the way it ought to be. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying there. He therefore that ministereth you the Spirit and worketh the miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law? Paul is saying, when I came and preached to you, was I preaching the works of the law? No. Or by the hearing of faith. Paul's message was a faith message. And many of their lives were changed. And so they knew the answer to these things. And he's going back to them and going back to them and trying to get them to think. And to use their mind and what had actually happened to them. So we'll close there, finish there with verse number 5. Verse number 6, he starts giving an example of Abraham. And I would encourage you to read on down through and at least be familiar with these verses before we get there. But he's not being mean in calling them, saying foolish. He's trying to get them to think. And if we'd think tonight, we'd see the same things. What good is done is not by the law, but it's by what the Spirit of God does. And when we have faith and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I appreciate your good attention tonight. I hope that'll be a blessing. I hope that'll be a help. Abigail said, what if Emory makes noise? Will that bother you? Well, I looked over there and they're gone, so I don't guess it did. But they're probably downstairs. All right, let's come to our feet. Good to be here tonight. Good to see each and everyone. Has anybody got a word of testimony or anything before we dismiss tonight?